Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello, hello, hello. I am Matt Williamson. At Williamson NFL. Drop me a line. We're going to get to that in a second, actually. This is the Locked On NFL podcast. What our plan is today is for you to, of course, to belly up to the bar here. Man, my bar is freezing, by the way. I'm down in the basement. It's cold here in Pittsburgh today. It's around zero, give or take, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Monday. But what we're going to do today, we're going to review each of these four wild card games. Unfortunately, it didn't end up being a very competitive slate. No really good games out of the group, nothing really competitive. I'm sure you've heard by now it was the wild card weekend in history with the collective biggest point differential. You add up all the win totals and the win differentials. It was the worst one, the least competitive in history. Okay, or at least in recent memory, something like that. Before we do, here's my tentative plan for the week. Is today we're going to talk about these four games. I think on Thursday and Friday, I want to break down two games each, both in detail. We'll do Saturday games on Thursday, Sunday games on Friday. So two breakdowns on each day. Tuesday, I think, is going to be Twitter Tuesday, not Twitter Thursday, Twitter Tuesday, because you can't have Twitter Wednesday. It just doesn't roll off the tongue. So get some Twitter questions for me for tomorrow. Maybe it's about your favorite team that got knocked out or wasn't in the playoffs. Maybe it's more about these games we just watched, something about the upcoming season. And then Wednesday, we might try to set up a guest or see what kind of creativity I come up with. Maybe we'll grab someone off the Locked On Network. Maybe we'll grab a draft guy. I don't know. That one's just bouncing around in my cranium for now. So, I also kind of feel like you could go back and just listen to Friday's podcast and have a pretty good clue of what happened over the weekend. Except for this game. I picked an upset and I thought the Raiders might be better than they were. Man, Connor Cook was horrible. No Donald Penn in this game. I'm just kind of going chronologically, things I saw throughout the game. A lot of blitz early by the Raiders, and I thought Houston struggled with it, and they adapted pretty well. Clowney tips that screen pass and intercepts the screen, sets up the Lamar Miller easy touchdown. That was big. A nice punt return by the Raiders, ended by Lamar Miller, or you know, Latavius Murray. Short touchdown, you know, and that's a bounce back drive to make it 10-7. It was pretty competitive at that point of the game. It went downhill from that point, though, for Oakland. I mean, it's just lack of offense. Cook was really poor. Again, and this is something I've been harping on with you guys the last couple weeks, these Raiders receivers aren't helping anyone. I blame Amari Cooper. He needs to be better. Hasn't done enough. Big Hopkins drive to end the half. You know, they actually threw, Osweiler actually let one go, threw a deep ball to Hopkins, and then he had a TD catch, 27 at the half, 22-7 at the half. And then Rodney Hudson was carted off near at the end of the first half. They were already without Donald Penn. It was pretty clear that the Raiders' offensive line just got dominated without Penn. I mean, Clowney's the guy everyone's talking about, and he was great, but Merciless was just as good, and Merciless might even be the better pure pass rusher. Hudson returned in the third quarter, but this offensive line certainly was not the same as we've been used to. I mean, I've pretty much been calling it the second-best offensive line in the league all year. That was not the line that was out there. I blame injuries more than anything. I mean, Connor Cook was 4 of 14 in the first half. I mean, rough. I mean, I don't even blame him. I'm not saying the guy's a bum. He was overmatched. I mean, McGloin was on the sidelines in dress, though, and you could tell he was really frustrated and wanting to come in. I'm not a doctor, but boy, I would think he would have done better than Cook. Wow. AJ Bouye played a really great game, and a lot of Houston corners, or their corners in general, got their hands on a lot of passes. I mean, It could have been worse, is basically what I'm saying there. Irvin returns a punt for a touchdown. That got called back from running into the punter. So that could have been even worse for Oakland. You know, Crabtree was taken off the field with a concussion. That's why I kind of called out Cooper more than Crabtree. I thought Andre Holmes did some good things here. But in general, I thought the receivers did not help Cook nearly enough. The offensive line was overmatched. Cook was obviously overmatched. Khalil Mack was phenomenal again in this game, though. I mean, if you just isolate him and watch him, he may have been the best player on the field. With all respect to Clowney, I know Clowney's getting all the pub, and he was great, but he was beaten up on backup left tackles. Merciless is really good as well. So, Raiders are out. These four recaps we're going to do today aren't going to be super long. I mean, they weren't real competitive games. So, what do you do about that? I mean, I can tell you a couple things I saw, and I'm going to watch some more of these games tonight and tomorrow, but man, not real competitive here.
Napa Know How. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How. Napa Know How. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
All right, next up. The Seahawks have won 10 straight home postseason games. It's pretty impressive. Third longest streak in NFL history. The Lions have 9 straight postseason losses, which is now the longest losing streak in the NFL. But in postseason history, that's rough. I mean, their last win was 1991 against the Cowboys when I was graduating high school, and it's been a long time, just had my 25th reunion. Kind of early on, the Lions got a little bit of a pass rush, but man, they started to get Rawls going and forget about it, and they stayed highly, highly dedicated to the run game. That, to me, is the story here. Is that something that can keep up going forward? Is it a combination? You know, their offensive line, I thought, played really well. Real impressive performance by the interior Seattle's offensive line. Glowinski stood out. Britt, the center. Rawls looked really fresh and powerful. He set the Seahawks postseason rushing record. You know, remember Marshawn Lynch was there not too long ago and with a lot of postseason success. They were highly dedicated to the run game. There was a stretch in the second quarter where it was just run after run after run after run. And they didn't have to do, I mean, Wilson didn't have to do much, and he wasn't running at all either. You know, it was just, we're going to hand it to this guy, and we're going to bash you up the middle. ProSize should be returning here sooner than later. Obviously, this is a black mark on the Lions' offense or defense. I mean, they couldn't stop the run. This line's been bad. But I also think that there's reason to think that this group is starting to turn the corner a little. I know I'm the ultimate Seahawks apologist. I am. I just believe that this team has a chance to be really good. Richardson stepped up in a huge way. Lockett out. He got a chance to play a lot. Baldwin came up big late in the game, too. But the one-handed touchdown catch by Richardson's about as good a catch as you're ever going to see. His left hand had total face mask, but of course that wasn't called. Over the last 4 or 5 weeks, I've seen like 5 or 6 of these where the wide receiver face masks somebody and it doesn't get called. There was a handful of them just this weekend of how do you miss face mask penalties as much as they did. Anyways, really impressive performance by Richardson, though. I don't know if you remember him coming out of school. He was a second-round pick. Kind of a DeSean Jackson guy. You know, real skinny, real fast, real injured since then. I think he's probably lost a smidge of that explosion and speed. But that's going to be his role. I mean, that's what Lockett was, is, you know, Curse and Baldwin and Graham and those guys aren't real burners, go deep type. I think that's what they're going to use Richardson for mostly. But boy, he had some great catches in this one. That was phenomenal. What else am I going to really talk about? I mean, Detroit has very little at the running back position. They dinked and dunked down the field quite a bit. Stafford didn't really target Sherman at all. And in this case, he didn't shadow. He stayed on the same side of the field. What'll be interesting is, will Sherman shadow Julio? I would think so. You know, against the Lions, the difference between Tate and Jones isn't probably worth it to, you know, adjust your defense to have him shadow a high percentage of the time. Bobby Wagner, check out my Twitter timeline. I just wrote how I thought he had the best season of any linebacker, pure linebackers, second-level guys of anyone in the league, and he was a superstar yet again in this one. So, Seattle, it was Rawls, it was defense, but it was a lot of Rawls. You know, Wilson didn't have to do a lot. Again, I kind of felt like the Lions were overmatched as a playoff team in general. That held to be true. Also kind of held to be true for the Dolphins, too. And they walked into a bee's nest. And I didn't mean to say that. Brown, Bell, Ben, you know, killer bees. I didn't mean to say that. But worked out. Maybe I'll use it on local air here tonight. Anyways. Man, they were... Antonio Brown, I mean, I think he set a record for most first quarter receiving yards in a postseason game. I mean, two short ones that he took to the house. You know, Ben recognized that they were... Yeah, he had cover one on the second one. He beats the safety, two backup safeties. You know, the other one was on a screen pass. You know, the Steelers moved the ball with ease before that. He makes somebody miss, goes flying down the sidelines. I mean, the Steelers had 240 yards in the first quarter. And the reality is Miami was never really in this game. Highly impressive performance by Brown, by Bell in particular. And really, the Steelers' offensive line. The line was absolutely tremendous. I know Roethlisberger had a real streak going where without any incompletions, but I didn't think he played, you know, I didn't think he was a difference maker. He was fine. I didn't think he was great. You know, you would think with this result that Ben played a huge game. I don't know that he has, and I kind of think that he's having a down year, or, you know, is it time to start thinking that Rivers, Ben, and Eli... maybe you're on the slight decline. I mean, it seems crazy to even bring this topic up right now after the Steelers just lit the Dolphins up. But just all three of those guys have had some warts this year by their usual standards. That'll be an off-season topic for me. I thought Matt Moore played pretty well. There were three straight possessions that the Steelers had a takeaway, though. And that I can't say I totally blame Moore. I thought he played all right. They took away Ajayi really well. They won at the line of scrimmage. They tackled well. Miami lost a turnover battle. It's going to be hard to overcome those things. And man, Matt Moore got blasted by Bud Dupree. I'm sure there's going to be a fine coming. Dupree's played much better, by the way. I mean, this last month or so, he's really turned the corner in his career. As has his partner in crime, James Harrison may have been the best player on the field. It's amazing. He's not much younger than I am. I'm going to write an article about him today, that this young defense, and then they have the one old man that's as good as anybody out there. It's pretty incredible. Him and Dupree are getting consistent pressure off the edge, something that hasn't happened in a while. But I give Matt Moore credit. I mean, the hit he took, he quickly returned to the game, played well, you know, I mean... overmatched, though. I mean, again, like all these games, I mean, the score was 20-6 at the half. I don't know what you... I mean, the Steelers didn't punt until the fourth quarter. Ben, like I said, Ben was 11 of 11 to start the game. He didn't have to do a whole heck of a lot. But he came to the press conference in a walking boot. You saw him limping around a little bit late in the game. This is going to be a homer conversation, but it makes me crazy that Tomlin doesn't get his guys out. Especially once an injury occurs, the game's over. Landry Jones played the week before. Get him in the game. I mean, D'Angelo Williams had two carries at the end of the game. Bell had like 30 touches again. Yeah, you get away with it, but you're playing with disaster. If a game's wrapped up, D'Angelo Williams and Landry Jones are capable. Get them in the game and take the stars out. You know, you're playing with fire. It makes no sense to me. Just a pet peeve here on a local level. But it was total Bell and Bench, or total Bell and Brown show. But I really think the offensive line were, you know, the heroes here too. Both phases, protection and opening holes. I got to think now that, I mean, if I'm ranking O lines, with all respect to the Raiders, who I kind of, you know, was down on because of their injuries and not their fault, Steelers offensive line's right in that conversation, right behind Dallas. Steeler D got home with a lot of blitzes. Moore took a beating. Butler did get, you know, Butler's defense was very effective. Gave up some yardage in the middle of the field. But they got after him pretty well, too. I mentioned Harrison having a huge day. Moore didn't have much of a running game to lean on and still, you know, moved the team pretty well. I thought Landry played a real nice game. I like their receivers a lot in general. Again, I think the arrow's pointing up for Miami, but on the road with two backup safeties, your best corner's out of the mix. I mean, best of luck. So Steelers-Chiefs should be a great one, though. And that's why I kind of want to spend 2 days breaking down those divisional games. I think there's a lot to discuss, with the exception of probably Houston going to New England. But the other three games, there's a lot to talk about. There's a full show there of two games each.
Hi, I'm Paul. Verizon has been placing giant letters all over the country to get people to buy into their unlimited plan. Don't get hooked. Switch to Sprint Unlimited, $22.50 per month per line for 4 lines and get the 5th line free. Hurry to your local Sprint store, visit sprint.com/unlimited or call 1-800-SPRINT-1 today.
Savings until 10/31/18, then $38 per line per month for 5 lines without auto pay, excludes taxes, surcharges, roaming, streams, video, KHC 1080p, music to 1.5 megabits per second, gaming up to 8 megabits per second, subject to credit, $30 activation fee, prohibited network use, tools, and data deprioritization apply. Compared to Verizon Beyond Unlimited carry features, different coverage and offer not everywhere, restrictions apply.
This last game is the one I think all of us expected to be highly, highly competitive. I thought Green Bay kind of drew a rough matchup, that the Giants were a tough matchup for them. But the Giants lost because Odell went on vacation and was on a boat and went to the sun. No. Who knows? Maybe that was a factor. I don't know. Odell did not play well. We'll get into that in a minute here. But, I mean, the beginning of this game was all Giants. I mean, the Packers offense did nothing for a long stretch. I mean, and for a good 20 minutes or so of the first half, it was a dominant performance, but the Giants weren't putting up points, and you kind of had that feeling that AR is still floating around, he's going to get his. I mean, right in the middle of the first quarter, they had that drive where they had several near touchdowns to Odell and Shepard, and either they were dropped by those guys or Eli missed them. You know, against single coverage, they had to settle for 3 for the game's first points. And yes, it was cold. I mean, I bet the cold had more to do with Odell having a bad game than, you know, going on a boat a week ago, whatever. But that's going to be the big narrative because, you know, he's a volatile type guy anyways. But man, not a good game by Odell, and we've talked about this a lot. And he got a lot of attention, too. I mean, there was one play that you saw him being treated like a punt gunner. There was two corners there banging him at the line of scrimmage, just totally eliminating him from the operation. You don't see that very much at all. So, yeah, obviously that was the game plan, and the Giants need to be less Odell-centric, and he didn't have his best game on many phases today. Drops, and, you know, just wasn't on par. But the Packers also lost their top guy. I mean, Jordy Nelson, he took a big shot from Hall right in the ribs. I'm waiting on Monday to see what the news is. If he's going to be out, I'm going to write an article what that would mean for them. You know, Rodgers was sacked 4 times in the first half. Giants were by far the better team in the first half, you know. And but then he you know, Rodgers hits Adams on that long pass. And then buys a ton of time and hits Adams for a TD to make it 7-6 with 2:20 left in the half. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, they're starting to roll. And then he hits the freaking Hail Mary at the end of the half. I mean, maybe there was a Cobb push out off there. But the Giants can't, you know, a Hail Mary rule is don't let anyone get behind you. They let Cobb get behind him. Rodgers is ridiculous. Drops it in right where it needs to be. I'm sure there's a big portion of luck with that too. But has anyone been more successful with, you know, Hail Marys than Rodgers? I mean, he's an unbelievable player. And that makes it 14-6 to go into the half. And it was kind of like, boy, the Giants lost their shot. You know, the Pack just totally owned the second half. I really like the way Christine Michael was running with conviction downhill, power player. That was great. The Giants also lost Rodgers Cromartie, who's an unorthodox, long, lean slot corner who's been really good this year. I don't think that's a coincidence why Cobb blew up and was kind of the MVP of this game. Nelson's been operating out of the slot a lot too, but while Cobb was out. So Cobb's, you know, came back at the right time. You know, a game you lose, Nelson. It was kind of like the passing game didn't miss a beat, especially in the second half, of course. Cook made some plays. Adams, as I mentioned, made several plays. The one thing I talked about a lot on Friday was how much pressure was New York going to get on Rodgers? Were they going to blitz a lot? They didn't blitz a lot in the first meeting. I didn't see the numbers on this one, but they didn't get a lot of pressure on him, and he extended some plays to obscene levels. When they brought four, they rarely rattled him. And he was great, as usual. Eli played pretty well. I mean, better than I expected from him. In this case, I thought his receivers let him down as opposed to the other way around, which I think has been the case for much of the year. But the better team won, but the Giants were the better team for the first third of the game, that's for sure. Second half wasn't really that competitive. I expected this game to be closer. In some ways, I was right. Didn't play out that way. Green Bay's good. Green Bay's really good. We'll see what the Nelson situation is going forward. So tomorrow is Twitter Tuesday, not Twitter Thursday. Twitter Tuesday. Line me up a bunch of questions. I'm just going to knock them out. Maybe we'll do like 20 of them. Just question after question. Boom, boom, boom. At Williamson NFL. Check out the rest of Locked On Network. Good chatting with you. See you later.